Good morning, Rabbi Sai. So with the events of Lag BaOmer behind us, we now look to the rest of Chodesh Iyar and towards Chodesh Sivan. We know that there's a klal, Moshe Tikkun Lehem Yisrael, that they should learn the halachas of Chag B'Chag, Lishol V'Lidroish, V'Hilchoy Sachag, Shloshim Yoim Koidin Lamoed. Lishol means that people should be asking questions already. We should be thinking ahead to Shavuos, which is less than a month away, and V'Lidroish, and the Rabbanim should be dashing about the halachas of Yom Tov. We already had one shiur from Rabbi Nemeth last week on the Dinum of Boira on Yom Tov and how they would differ from the Dinum of Boira on a regular Shabbos. And there are five inyonim, although clearly Shavuos being interesting, being Zman Matan Torah Seinu, doesn't have any specific mitzvah, certainly Midoraisa, doesn't have any specific mitzvah which relates to Chag HaShavuos. But nevertheless, there are five inyonim which we need to deal with in the run-up to Shavuos. Five inyonim which are going to be special over Yom Tov. I've remembered four of them, I can't remember the fifth, so maybe you can help me. But what are the five things that there is a simon for them as well? I'll find it. But there's a simon for the five things that we do on Shavuos, which are different from maybe any other Yom Tov. One of them is eating ma'chole cholov, eating milky foods. One of them is lishtoyach hasovim beveis hamedrash, to put out flowers or grass in the beis hamedrash, or in private homes as well. There is the minig of akdomas, the minig of saying akdomas, and the various halachas which relate to that, legaba kriya satoira, legaba making a hefsek in kriya satoira, and when you say the brocha, etc. And we have the minig of reading Megillas Rus, and I can't remember the fifth one. Maybe it's aseres hadibros, I don't know whether that's a separate inyan. I think there's one more. Sorry?
Limit Torah B'Lailos, stay up the whole night.
Maybe. Pardon? Well, Tziv Pesgom, McDonald's, yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. I need to look up which is officially. So we've got a few suggestions anyway. We've got Tziv Pesgom, we've got staying up all night and learning, and the various halachas which relate to that, the Gabba Bichsatoya. Eating milky, we said. Macholi Cholov, we mentioned already. Anyway, so there is what to discuss. And therefore, I'll call upon him. Now, the machlokes is whether or not when Moshe Rabbeinu tikein lohem li Yisrael to darshan hilchas chag b'chag, where does the inyan of chag b'chag come from? There are some who say that Moshe Rabbeinu was only mesakin to learn hilchas chag b'chag legaba Pesach and no other yontif. Why? Because we learn it from there. Where do we learn the inyan from? We learn it from Pesach Sheni, that in Erev Pesach Moshe Rabbeinu was giving guidance to Klal Yisrael. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu was giving Klal Yisrael that those people who are Tomei L'Nefesh and those people who are B'derech Chochoyko, who cannot perform the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, then he said you will have the opportunity to do Pesach Sheni. So if you say to me, well, maybe that's a halacha of Erev Pesach, that's not really the halacha of Pesach Sheni, but if you look in the Parsha of Pesach Sheni, in Parsha's yeah, if you look at the Parsha Pesach Sheni, he brought down all the halachas as well. Moshe Rabbeinu said in detail exactly how you will bring the Korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni. So he was learning Hilchas Chag B'Chag, the halachas of Pesach Sheni. He was already teaching them on Erev Pesach in detail, not just the fact that there is a Pesach Sheni, but the details of Pesach Sheni. So under the assumption that we learn it from Pesach, because Moshe Rabbeinu said it, Pesach, the Gav Pesach Sheini, who says, first of all, we haven't got any mitzvahs for Shavuos. But let's say Sukkos. Do we need to do Sukkos as well? So there are some who hold that there isn't this mitzvah, special mitzvah of Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, the Gav Shavuos and Sukkos, and under the assumption that it applies to all three Yomim Tovim, and clearly there can't be any harm in learning the dinim of all three Yomim Tovim in Shloshim Yom beforehand.
Started the Torah Northwest London, Wednesday, Yud Tes Iyar, 6th of July. Renner of Rav Gershon Dunner, Shlita, Rav of Torat Moshe, and of Kol Netzach Yisrael. Savos Rabbi Yehuda Chosid. This week's Torah has been sponsored by a family who's in the Nishmas from Ephraim Fischel Ben Raviol Aryeh Zichron Rochav Fischel Dix Zichron Rochav Antwerp who's Yatzaris on Kaf Aleph Iyah and Anonis Chosro Fur Shlema of Nachman Moshe Ben Chai Sora and Shlema Ben Bela with So Shor Chol Yisrael who's in the Nishmas our esteemed founder Rabbi Yosef Dover Rabbi Shimon Chol Tzvi Itzkovitz Zichron Noliv Rocho.
Good morning everyone. I want to talk today about the famous will, the tzavah of Rebbe Yehuda HaChosid. So, everyone knows this famous tzavah. It came very nogea a few weeks ago when the first day of Rosh Chodesh was Erev Shabbos, Friday, 2 weeks ago, and there was a whole big balagan. Is one allowed to have a haircut then? Because even though Mishnah Berurah did say one can have a haircut in honor of Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, even though it's in the middle of the Sefirah, but famously Rebbe Yehuda HaChosid wrote his tzavah that you should not ever have a haircut or shave on Rosh Chodesh. And therefore the question arose, what do we do with this tzavah? Why do we care what some Rishon wrote in a tzavah 1,000 years ago? And the bigger question, because the Mishmur himself quoted the tzavah about this, not to have a haircut on Rosh Chodesh, and here in Tfilas HaOmer, he was seemingly contradicting himself, and he wrote, you can have a haircut, and that was a discussion. Really, since then we all had haircuts since Lag BaOmer. But then I decided to get involved in the sugya of Yehuda HaChosid again because everyone was asking me who cares about the tzavah. So, first introduction, who was Yehuda HaChosid? So he was a Rishon about whom many Rishonim say amazing things. Or the Ruach calls him HaChosid, HaGodol. The Rokeach calls him the Av, HaChochma. Tosfos calls him Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChosid. Yeah. His grandfather, Reb Klonimus, is quoted in Tosfos Nechulin. His father, Reb Shmuel, is quoted in Tosfos Nivamos and in Soita. So he comes from very Choshev Mishpacha. Now, this might be controversial, but officially, when his mother was pregnant, she was attempted to be run over and the wall bent for her, not for Rashi. Most historians agree that the story was with Yehuda HaChosid, not with Rashi. There's various reasons. Number one, the story happened in Worms and Rashi was born in Troyes. And if you look in the history books, only about 100 years ago does this story get attributed to Rashi, but way before that it gets attributed to Yehuda HaChosid. So Yehuda HaChosid was holy for birth. He was a Rebbe of the Rokeach, the Smag, the Oz Ruach. So many of the Rishoni Ashkenaz who the Ramah goes with were Talmidim of Rebbe Yehuda HaChosid. Now, there's a big discussion about this Tzavah. Yeah, there's 78 different things mentioned in Tzavah. And there's loads of questions that arise from it. We'll try and go through some of them today. Some of the Tzavahs, A, contradict halacha, contradict Gemara's, contradict what we pass tonight. Other tzavahs are psukim in the Torah. There's one tzavah not to cut down a fruit tree, which is a posuk. A fruit tree, but that's what's possible. Baltashka's not, we know you're not allowed. There's a famous tshuva from Noyd Behuda addressing this. Noyd Behuda brings down, and I'm quoting his lashon. Ein rishus lechachamim lacha talmud loyma dava neged talmud. You have no rishus, no one has a right to contradict what it says in the Gemara. Va'oima dova, someone who does say something, listo kutso shal yud, negda Talmud, to contradict the Talmud, even the kutso shal yud, lo nechshav l'chacham klal, he can't be a chacham because the Talmud is binding. Okshonu moitzi echad, mechach me Yisrael. So when you find someone who's undoubtedly a chacham Yisrael, hamuchzuk b'teira v'yira b'lisofik, when you find such a person, i.e. Yehuda HaChosid, dova hasoy says a Talmud, so what do you do? What's the problem? Onu mechayavin letaritz, we have to answer, sheloi dibe rak l'shaw, oi l'mishpacha mesuyim, veloi al haklal. It must be, he wasn't talking to everyone, it must be he's speaking to his family. The famous example is, he brings down that you should not marry your niece. That a man should not marry his sibling's daughter. The Gemara says it's a mitzvah to do so. Paskin the Rambam, Paskin the Ramah, it's a mitzvah to marry your niece, he shouldn't do so. He brings down that father.
You mean uncle of the niece?
No, a father and a son shouldn't marry. You're married to a niece?
No, I didn't know this.
That what? You should have married.
I should have.
Oh, okay. I had a guy in my shir married his niece. A guy in my shir in the shiva married his niece. I remember he went to ask the Magid Shir what should he call his sister mummy? Because normally you call your mother-in-law mummy, but is it weird to call his sister mummy? That was a shayla. But okay.
Why is it a mitzvah?
Because we'll see Salim, it's better even. Well, I mean, I'm not sure what to say. Some say the reason is because normally a girl does not get a Yerusha from her father. At times of the Torah, She only the boys got Yerusha, not the girl. And therefore, you have a big, wealthy, millionaire father who dies, and all the sons become millionaires, and the girls are very resentful. They got no Yerusha. Then you go and you marry her daughter. So then her daughter will still get some part of her father's Yerusha by marrying the son. Some showed him, say, that's the reason why it's a mitzvah to marry. And he says, according to that, only a mitzvah to marry your sister's daughter, not your brother's daughter. Which, again, we'll get to that when we get now.
Why does that make it a mitzvah, just to get money?
No, to make her happy, to make your sister not sad. A father and a son should not marry two sisters. That's another savar. And the Gemara brings down where Papa and his son married two daughters of Abba Asura. Two brothers should marry two sisters. Another savar. There's Gemaras about 80 pairs of brothers, Kahanim, married 80 pairs of Kahanim. There's loads of Gemaras where people are going against the savar. And if you say that the savar was written for the whole Klal Yisrael, it doesn't make so much sense. And therefore, the Nadi Huda goes with the Mahalach that many of these savars was written with Ruach HaKodesh, because he saw that his descendants wouldn't do well with these Shidduchim. And there was no Osa. Just advice from the old grandfather who was a Gadol Hador, that I'm telling you, don't do the Shidduch, it won't be good for you. And that's how they want to answer it. The Maisa, the Tzavar, it brought down the Halacha in many places. So it's hard to say it was only written for the descendants, because there's many myriad examples in Shulchan Aruch, and Ramah, and other Rishonim, and Achreinim, that they're bringing down the Tzavar as Halacha L'maisa. Okay, so let's now, I'm going to go through some of the Tzavar, some that you've heard of, some you haven't. We'll try and see what we keep, what we don't keep. The first Tzavar is not to bury two people next to each other who hated each other when they were alive. Because it says, Ke'en lohem menucha yachad. Because they're going to end up fighting eternally. They're never going to stop fighting. This is brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Shin Samach Beis near there. And the Makor, there in the bracket says, Rabbeinu Ruchum b'shem v'udachosit. So we see that this is brought l'halacha, b'shem v'udachosit. There's a discussion how close it has to be. Is there someone in between? Is it okay? Is it dafka within four amas? Some say you can ask mechila from the nifta. And then you can bury. So other mechilas say, what do you mean? He can't ask mechila and then assume he was mechila. Maybe he doesn't want to be buried next to this fellow, and your mechila doesn't help very much. Here we go. The famous story, the famous machlokas between these shnei horim gedolim and these two gedolei olam. They didn't get on in their lifetime, and they had various times against each other. And when the Yaivetz was on his deathbed, he said, Baruch haba Abba, Baruch haba Reb Yonasan. Much to the astonishment of the Chevra Kadisha in the room, sounded like he was welcoming his father and Rionison, who came to accompany him to the next world. Okay, they weren't sure what was going on. Then there's different Gersois in the story, but it seems like that either it was Lechatchila or happened by mistake, but the Maisa, and you can go to Visachayim and see, they ended up getting buried on the same row. The two Gedolim who fought each other whole lives are suddenly buried next to each other. So either they asked the Shiloh before they buried him, where they buried, I don't know where they buried, do you know? This is Googleable in 4 seconds. But people have been to, I gave you a share a lot of times, people told me they've been there, they're not marmoshed next to each other, but they're very close to each other. So they went to ask the Shiloh, to Noid of Yehuda, who was the next up and coming Gadol Hador at the time, what should they do? And he said, Mekoyach this Maisa, Mekoyach the fact that the Yaakov Emden on the deathbed said, Baruch HaBar Yonason, that clearly they'd made some sort of shalom, and therefore it's not a problem, and either they have to reinter him, or they could bury him in the Chetchila, and Kachava. The Chasam Sofer, this is very interesting, was Makpid not to put on his shelf the Sefer of Rion Sibershitz and the Pnei Yeshua next to each other, because they were different sides in the Machlokas. The Sefer of the Plesi and the Sefer of the Pnei Yeshua, the Chasam Sofer was always Makpid not to put it near each other on the shelf, based on this Tzavar. One time, after a few years, one of the Talmidim saw that suddenly the Pnei Yeshua is next to the Plesi on the shelf. He said to him, what's going on? And he said, I saw Ruach HaKodesh, they now made Shalom in Shemayim, and therefore there's no problem anymore. Okay. The next Tzavar base.
Can I ask, Soinim probably means personal rather than halakhic.
And therefore over here...
This was a professional machlokes that they had. It wasn't a personal...
But they held the other words was fundamentally hashkafically misguided. It was quite a strong... Yeah, it was really strong. I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm not a historian, and we don't understand these things. All we understand is that both Gedolei Hador and Sfarim are both Makul HaKlal. Next Tzavar number two. We won't go through all 78 unless I get invited back, but we'll go through some. You shouldn't dig a grave and leave it open if you're not going to bury someone in the grave on that day. And if you do, someone in town is going to die. This is brought down in the Ramah, in Yerodea, in Shin Lamatesi Falas, Ramah Paskins, this Yerodea Chasov. Kriega says that if you do this, within 15 days or 16 days, someone's going to die in the town. Now, what are the reasons for this Tzavah? So the Rosh Hashanah Kohen give reasons. One, because it's Koichas HaTumah who come. Others say that this is only for someone's about to die. Someone's about to die, it's not like, okay, he's about to die, let's quickly go and dig his grave, or just tell him good news, you can die peacefully, your grave is all waiting for you, that therefore shouldn't be done. Others say a similar thing, that Chitzonim come and they to the grave to rest on the dead person, and when the dead person is not there, they go, okay, so who should we rest on? Let's find someone else to rest on and make him dead. I'll pee the second reason, that's the problem of a goyis, some poskim say, to dig a grave for a healthy person is no problem. It's only like a guy's about to die, it's bad luck to start digging the grave for him. Okay. Even on Erev Yom Tov, if you're assuming someone's going to die on Yom Tov, and you want to be Mamayat Chil Yom Tov, because you can do a Kruah on second day Yom Tov, and you want to dig the grave before, you're not allowed to because of this Tzavah. Now, in coronavirus, this Shaila came to Rabbi Zimmerman. Unfortunately, the Federation had some days they couldn't dig graves fast enough for all the people who were dying. And one day was a quiet day. They asked Rabbi Zimmerman, could we dig today, 15 graves? So, unfortunately, in the coming week, when we have a build-up of people dying, we'll be able to bury them out any problem without having a backlog. And he passed based on the Stei Chemed and the Marasham, that you can dig them, but not to their final depth. If they're not done to the final depth, I didn't leave a tefah, whatever it is, don't dig it fully, only partially digging it, then there's not going to be a problem. Ha'agav, other hachonas you can do, the tachrichim and the oran, you are allowed to prepare for dead persons. Dafka, digging a grave, the Ramah and Rula Chasa being down, you shouldn't do so. Next is a quite famous one, you shouldn't go to the same grave twice in the same day. This is very famous, people, they go and then they come back, oh, I've got that. No, the halacha is you don't go back. The Mon Avraham brings this down, fascinatingly enough, from that.
To dig it twice?
No, to visit it twice.
Visit twice?
Yeah, you don't go once, and then you come back, oh, hello, I forgot something, I'm back. The Mon Avraham brings down a halacha from the Arizal. They ask the Mon Avraham, which is the Chosid, who way preempts the Arizal. It's brought the halacha of Kivyega, the Shlah, the Eli Rabbi, and the Mishabura. They all bring down this Indian of not going back twice in one day. If you're still within four amas, Sachoim say you can go back. If you're in the same base as Kvaras, there's a Shaila, most Achoinim are Machme. If you left something there, what do you say? Machme. If you left something there, if you want to say you left your hat there, your phone fell out of your pocket, you want to go back, let's say it's not a problem, you are going to be allowed to go back. No, you're just going to pick it up, you're not going to davening twice. The Lashon on Tzavah is, you should be Mevakish Kol Ritzoinoi. Do all your prayers the first time. The Achoinim discuss what happened. Let's say you're sent by Kupat Ha'ir to daven by a grave, and then as you leave, a whole new bucket of names come in to go and daven again. The Arsene Achoinim say that's allowed, because he just said, you did. And then afterwards, new things came up, and therefore, some Achoinim say you can go back. Okay. Next, not to make a Beis HaMerchatz in your home. You ever heard this one? They brought down the Halacha, Rila Chasa brings down, and some Achoinim bin Halacha.
What's the meaning of HaMerchatz? A shower?
We'll get there. Okay, we're above. I think the minig is to be makel to have a bath in the home. I'm speaking for myself. I'm assuming everyone else as well. Mad. So the Tzavah said, "Lo yase odah merchat b'tuch beisoy." And if you do, the house will be destroyed unless it's for the rabbin, unless it's a public bathhouse. What's going on? So some say there's mazikim in the bathhouse. Reason number one. Reason number two: you shouldn't indulge in luxury. Yeah, you're such a fancy guy. You need to have your bathhouse in your house. You can't go to the corner shop to have a bath there. It's not appropriate. Others say, and according to that, you should know, a mikveh is not a problem, because a mikveh is not indulging in luxury. A mikveh is just indulging in extra tahara, and that wouldn't be a problem. Others say that, fakir, the whole chashash is a mikveh. What's the problem? Because traditionally, when you make a mikveh is a lot of money, a lot of effort, you need a lot of expertise. You get the biggest rabbonim, experts in mikvahs, to build it. And therefore, any mikveh that's built is built on a high halachic standard with unbelievable chumras. You know what goes on today, mikvahs. Unbelievable chumras. If you can start building mikvahs in everyone's house, then they'll become very shvach. They don't have the same pikuach, the same hashgacha. And you have people who unfortunately are using the mikvahs for tefillah d'oraisa for things that are dodgy mikvahs that are not kosher l'chatchila, and therefore that some achrayim say that was the pshat in the tzavah. According to that, dafka mikvah is the problem and not a beis hamerchas. I once went to Aaron Leib Steinman with my uncle Dayan Dunner, and they had some new way of building a mikvah. So I don't know, exactly pouring plastic in a cradle. They found a way to cut down the cost of mikvah. It's like a new halachic way. Mamish, you get kosher mikvah for $10,000. We went to ask Aaron Leib Steinman, should we start doing this? Loads of kibbutzim who haven't got mikvahs. This will be an unbelievable thing. He said, "Shum ponavoy finished." He said, "What do you mean? What do you mean? Chaver have to travel from kibbutzim to go to mikvah?" He said, "Until now, mikvah is a big thing, and you need a building campaign, and you bring in the experts. If you have every Tom, Dick, and Harry building mikvahs in their garage, that will negate that, and therefore the upside is not worth the downside, and therefore don't do this." Okay. Now the question is, what's called a rabbim as well? So some people say, if as long as you let two people use it, it's already called a rabbim, and therefore there are those who have mikvahs in their homes. If you ask them, can you use it? They're normally going to say yes. Even if you ask them to use their bath, they might say no because they are worried of this tzavah, and therefore they call that a rabbim using it, and therefore many people are mekel. Reb Moshe has a tshuva about baths. Is a bath a stira to the tzavah? And he says it's not, and it's a doshu bar rabbim, and there's no problem at all. And therefore the minig seems to be Lanias Dati to have a bath in your house. One more one for home builders is quite famous. La yistem odom chaloin oy pesach legamri, not to seal up an entranceway in your house. It's quite a famous one. If you have a window, not to seal it, you have a door, not to seal it. Shelo yaziku hashedim. Why? Because they usually use this exit as an exit. And imagine you're a shade. And you use this exit the whole time. Suddenly, it's Meshigana blocks up your wall, and I got to go all the way around. You'll be very angry, and therefore you'll cause damage to people in the house, and therefore you cannot do so. It's brought down Shulchan Gedolah, Ben Ishchai, Kaf HaChaim. Bring down this halacha.
What happens if it's a Hezekiah problem?
Say again.
What happens if the window which was opened was Hezekiah?
Okay, so when you seal it, we're going to see that the poskim can say you can seal it and leave a tiny little tube going out, so that the mazik can still get out. And there are builders who do that. What's it called?
Or an air brick.
An air brick. But if you leave a way for them to go out, then it's going to be okay. And the builders do this. To this day, there's builders who will offer you a service that they can make sure that you have a way out, and therefore you won't be a problem for the mazik.
They do it when chimney breasts.
Yeah. That's
a... Mazik had a way out the chimney.
Yeah, no, 100%. And there's something else. There's an Indian to open a window when there's a ghostess in the room. And it's a similar reason, because the evil malach is going to go out this way and start being matriachim to close the window and make him find a different exit. You don't want to mess with the malach. You want them to have easy access wherever they want to go, and therefore that's why that minig is. The achronim say, what happens if you come to the shir and you say, oh no, in my house 20 years ago I sealed up a window. Now what are we going to do now? If nothing happened for 20 years, vice versa, that these chitzonim weren't using that window as an exit. Obviously, they had a different route, and therefore, there is no problem, and therefore, there's no sakana at all. Others say if you make a window right next door, it's going to be mutter, but many achronim are makbid. Even in a shul, the chidah is makbid not to do so. So, you don't say it's a dvar mitzvah, a shul, the chidah still brings down that you shouldn't do so. Air conditioning vents. Now, an air conditioner always has a way out. So, the fear is, you can't move air conditioning. No, says the Chazon Ish, there is no problem to relocate to an air conditioning vent. That wasn't like a derech, and therefore, tafka chaloin or a pesach, the Noli Buddha says, and therefore, there is no problem for that. Okay, let's move on to marrying your niece. So, lo yisa adam basa ochiva basa chose. The Gemara in Yavamah Samach Beis and the Rambam and the Rambam and Simon Beis bring down. It's a mitzvah to marry your niece. The Rambam mashmah as basorchali to salim. In Pirush Mishnayos, he says it's a mitzvah. V'roi l'chol odom sheyesh dadol b'kach. So this is already a problem. We have a discrepancy between the tzavah and the Rambam and the halacha. When V'chai brings down that we see from Yitzchak Avinu, there's a maila marrying your family, and that's the basis of what's going on. So again, on this one, the Noli Buddha brings down that this is dafka said for his grandchildren and not for everyone else, because you can't contradict the Talmud, and therefore that's how he reconciles it. The Rebbe Chaim brings down that if you're mizdavik l'shem shomayim, if you marry your niece l'shem shomayim, then there's no concern, it's all good. And the Gemara's time, that's what would happen. Yeah?
I've been around from Yitzchak, I've wrong about
his niece. No, great. I'm not saying about marrying, I'm saying that the concept of dafka wanting your mishpacha, he made Eliezer swear, there's something about marrying mishpacha. Dafka Shuvah brings down that there's medical problems in marrying a very close relation. And this is factually proven. I know in the Babov family, they do very close shidduchim. They do a series of blood tests first to make sure they are compatible. Because there have been stories of people who had, unfortunately, children who weren't well because they were very close related, therefore genes that were bad reawakened each other. But so the others who say that in the time of the Gemara, they were marrying Hashem Shemayim, Shem Mitzvah Yedavarah, and therefore there was no concern to marry your niece. Now, people are not marrying Hashem Shemayim, they're marrying for ulterior motives, and therefore you haven't got that zechus of marrying Hashem Shemayim, and therefore it will come back that the dangers of marrying close families will kick in, and therefore it's a problem. That's one way we can side in the stira. Others say Nishtanu Hativim, like you find often things that were dangerous Bizman Chazal are not dangerous now, and vice versa. So therefore this maybe became dangerous subsequently, and therefore the problem. The Netziv married his niece to Vikshani and he had a healthy child. The Imri Emes married his niece to Vikshani and gave birth to Pnei Menachem. Reb Shulam Eliezer, who was a son of the Divri Chaim, married his niece, and I descend from them. Okay. The Chaznish was Makpid, and he said he doesn't like it, and he doesn't see people who have good muzzle for marrying their nieces, and therefore there are those who refrain. Next Tavar, I have time for one or two more. What? Nasif. Nasif, I said Nasif. Yeah. Okay. Next Tavar, this is a world famous, this is arguably the most famous one. La Yisa Adam Isha Sheshma Kashem Imoy. Do not marry a lady whose same name as the mother. Oy Shmoy Kashem Chomov, or a man like a Shver. And if you do, and you change your name, there's a stira in Girsois. There's many different Girsois in the Tavar. One Tavar, the famous one, writes, if you change your name, Ula Yesh Tikva, which sounds like it's still not so ideal to marry someone and change your name. Then the other Girsa is Oz Yesh Tikva, whole different ballgame, that's how it's Lechat Chila, to change your name afterwards.
Known as the name? Or just
We'll get there. The Chidar brings down, the reason is Ayin Hara, and therefore there are those who say, if not known, but Ayin Hara is, here comes Moshe, father, son, grandmother. That's the problem. If he's called Moshe Yaakov, he's called Moshe Yitzchak, he's called Joe, he's called Jack, then the others say that there's not going to be a problem. Others say Chasron and Kibudav, because you keep on saying to your wife Sprinzer, and your mother Sprinzer keeps on jumping, and that would be Chasron and Kibudav, and therefore that's the reason why not to. I forget, it's brought down. Once again, it brought down halacha not to call a person who has the same name as your father in front of your father for that reason. But on that, they say it's only if your father has a unique name. If he's called a regular name, it's not a problem because it's fine. You're really not calling your father's name. If his name is really strange and then you've got a friend who has the same name, so they ask if that's so. If that's a problem, Kibbutz, it should only be a problem if it's a strange name, not if it's a regular name. Others say the problem is that you're going to want to call after the dead parent after they die, and you won't be able to because that's your wife's name. And therefore, it's Chasaron and Kibbutz that you won't be able to call after them, and that's why you shouldn't marry someone the same name. According to that, Sfaradim wouldn't really have the problem because they don't mind to call after when they have an alive person there as well. The Baal Tanya said it's a pisoid, and don't start being Dorish Talmud the Quran this. The Divri Chaim brings down this one is for everyone. It's not just Lazaroi. This is for everyone, and people are very, very makbid on this. The Chidor says he saw Zevugim Shaloi Ola Kohogan because they were over this Tzavar. The Arizal was machmir for Kalav HaChamosoi, but not for son-in-law and father-in-law. And therefore, that many people for mother-in-law and daughter-in-law are very, very makbid on this, and for other things not. The Gemara in Sotzi Yudon Beis brings down Omar Shmuel Saba Chamur Rav Shmuel Bar someone. But you see in the Gemara and Soita that Shmuel Saba has a son-in-law called Shmuel. Problem. Negative Tavar. And this Tavar said for everyone, not just for Eniklach. So what's going to be? Some Achronim say that his name was Shmuel Saba. In Fasam Shah, he was Shmuel the Saba. He had two names. And if you have two names, then there is going to be no problem. The Baal Tanya discusses this. He says if one person called Rachel and one called Rivka Rachel, there's no problem. Now, does anyone know anyone in the Torah who had the same name as his shver? You get extra piece of cake afterwards if you get the right answer. It's in Shemois. Somewhere in Shemois, someone has the same name as their shver. Amongst other names. Yanki?
Moshe
and Yisrael have the same name. What? Which name? Chever. They're both called Chever. And the Megillah brings down, the Gemara Megillah Gimel Amud Aleph, he had many names. One name was Chever, Shechiba Yisrael, Avin Shemayim. So you have here a father-in-law and son-in-law with the same name, albeit they each have six or seven different names, and therefore it's a Mefurash Araya that's going to be okay.
Shechiba, yeah, that time of the
past. Yeah. Nice. Maybe you got called that name afterwards. Yeah. I hear, that's interesting. Okay. There are those who say, oh, I saw Gishmak Shaila. What about if you have a girl called Simcha, can she marry someone whose father's called Simcha? Is it a problem because it's the same name but they're different names? It could be as Kibudav, it would be the same problem. Because when you're calling her Simcha, your father's jumping every time. And therefore the fact that this is the boy and this is the girl, that won't really help you very much. The Nevi Huda brings down that if the son-in-law is a Ben Torah, so you offer the top shidduch, he's a Talmud Chacham, he's the best guy in Ponovich, but he's got the same name as you. He said, he doesn't understand, people are machmir not to do shidduch. And rather, they marry their daughters off to Amoratzim. So to marry a daughter to Amoratz is osa. Imam Psochim brings down, it's like tying her up in front of a lion to be devoured by his Amoratz. People are much more makbid on marrying off to, or not doing the names, than to marry a Talmud Chacham, and he finds that slightly bizarre. The Chafsayf is make l'chatchila if you change the names. And I'll end off with this. There's one more tzavah. I'll tell you the highlight of tzavah. I won't sort it out for you. Achim nesuim lo yoduru be'ir echot. Tzavah lamed gimel. Married siblings, brothers, shouldn't live in the same town. Now, most people in this room have a problem with that one. And if I ever get invited back, maybe we'll sort it out. But something to think about. Thank you all for listening. And have a very, very good day.
Married siblings?
Hang on. Yeah, two brothers and sisters.
Oh, shouldn't live in the same town.
No. Two separate things. One is two married siblings shouldn't live in the same town. Correct.
When he gets married,
well, in the same house, you have to be brought up. You can't live in the same house, then you have nowhere to eat. You need to. Once you get married, you should settle in the same town. What's going on? Everyone in the same town. Some of the stuff the town didn't live in, you weren't brought up in. You shouldn't all move to Timbuktu together. My friend went off my stand office. Khan Bodman. I know this. Bodman. Shorty Bodman. Shorty Bodman.